Okay, so moving on to the disclosure initiative.
It's ding.
And I like this one.
Moving on to the disclosure initiative, handing over to Catherine.
Thank you. So good afternoon, everyone. We just have the one disclosure initiative paper for you this afternoon, and that is a feedback summary on our definition of material project. Before we start, I'd just like to highlight the next steps indicated in the cover paper. In light of what we heard, the staff do think we'll be able to move this forward potentially quite quickly. So at this point, we are planning to bring staff recommendations on all elements of the exposure draft to the board next month. So with that in mind, whilst this isn't a decision-making meeting, we do have a question for the board because, as always, we're very keen to hear your initial views as we work towards our papers for next month. So to talk about the feedback we've heard, over to Siobhan.
So the board published the definition of material exposure draft in September 2017. The comment period of the exposure draft closed on the 15th of January 2018, and as per Appendix A of the agenda paper, we received 71 comment letters in total. Almost all respondents supported the board making clarifications to the definition of material. However, respondents also expressed concerns about specific terminology used within those proposals. The most prevalent concern related to the inclusion of obscuring information. For example, many respondents thought that the definition and the explanatory paragraphs did not provide sufficient guidance in order for them to be able to interpret, apply, and assess the extent to which material information might be obscured by immaterial information. Consequently, these respondents asked for the board to consider providing further clarification and supplementing this with illustrative examples and application guidance. Some respondents also thought that the concept of obscuring information related more to the presentation of material information as opposed to whether or not that information is material in the first place. Many respondents also provided feedback on the location of the definition of material and the explanatory paragraphs. These respondents suggested that they not be repeated across multiple IFRS standards and instead are located in a single standard, such as IAS1, and that all other standards make reference to it as necessary. Some respondents also provided feedback on the materiality practice statement. These respondents were primarily accountancy bodies, standard setting bodies, and accounting firms. They thought that the proposed amendments, together with the practice statement, have the potential to address the behavioural issues identified as being part of the disclosure problem in the Principles of Disclosure project. They also thought the practice statement serves as a useful tool in making materiality judgments, so much so that they thought components of the practice statement should be incorporated into the conceptual framework, or IAS1. For example, these respondents thought that the explanatory paragraphs on primary users and the four-step materiality process should be incorporated into the conceptual framework, IAS1, or both. To help us develop our papers for our upcoming May meeting, we would now like to hand over to the board and ask for their thoughts on the feedback received, in particular, the feedback relating to the concept of obscuring information. Thank you.
Anne.
Thanks, Siobhan. I think you've got some really good feedback there in the comment letters, and much of it you will be able to action. And a lot of it looks sensible in the sense that it makes sense to have the definition in one place and cross-reference to it. So that's something that can be attended. And there was some other interesting feedback about the way we use the word material. We use it in different ways, and that's something I could see feeding into the DI project as we do a framework for disclosure and we have disclosure objectives. That makes us think about drafting as well. I think you've also got some other points in the feedback about specific words, the economic decisions, the use of specific, I think the things you can attend. I thought the point about primary users is something that you can address, because we're now talking about primary users in the conceptual framework. And the other one was about general purpose financial statements, general purpose financial reports. I think we can tidy that up. So the big one, I do agree, is obscuring. And my take on the feedback is that we haven't got enough to go ahead with obscuring. So I would favour that obscuring as a word comes out. Based on the feedback we've got, we haven't done enough to show why obscuring fits in the definition. And some of the suggestions are to work with that idea, but to work with that in disclosure initiative. So as not to, if we wanted to leave obscuring in this document, I think we'd have to do a lot more work on it, and it sounds like you're hoping to move along. So although we did get some suggestions from people about changing the definition, improving the definition, doing more with the definition, I think a lot of that belongs in can be done in disclosure initiative. So I think there are many things we can do here, and I think the feedback says that we haven't handled the obscure word as well as would need. So potentially that needs to come out. Thank you.
Constanza.
Well, thank you for the feedback on this. And I mean, when I take the perspective of this small project that had as an objective to clarify harmonized definitions toward standards, I think it's a good effort that we do that. But the real added value that I saw in the changes beyond having a better harmonized literature throughout was the fact that indeed we would include in the definition the guidance around materiality, the notion of obscuring, as counterbalancing the focus that has been in practice largely not omitting anything. So not omitting, not obscuring, I think is really bringing the balance and inviting people to having judgment in what they do, judgment in the information they provide. And I think in the core of the effort that we're making in this disclosure initiative, where for the part of it that address changes of behavior, I thought that having that notion of obscuring was a very important anchor. Inviting in the progress. So I would really appreciate that in whatever recommendations you wish to bring to us, you make sure that either this is maintained in one way or another, or if you, in the light of the comments received that call for in some instances for more guidance, that you suggest how to include it, but with accompanying guidance. That's the. I think other. I agree with you that other than that, the proposals, the changes seem to be well taken. I also support the fact that eventually the definition is one place and the others refer to it. I think that makes sense. But really, to me, the added value of the project was that. So if we remove it, what was the purpose?
Daryl?
So I would agree with a lot of what Francois said. I think it's for me, one of the key benefits of this project has been the idea that we're trying to get a counterbalance to what has become the narrative around putting more and more into financial statements. And I think the word obscuring is what gets us there. Now, I can't tell you that I've got a magic bullet for this one, but I certainly think that we need to give it the opportunity to spend a little bit more time getting our head around this, getting our head around some of the ideas that are there. And as I think this is the big change that we're bringing in, I think we should at least give it a chance.
Tom?
So I'm conscious of what we put out. So I agree that obscure shouldn't be in the definition. I'm actually sympathetic to that, the people who said, probably neither should omit or mistake be in the definition, because we could have written a nice, simple, affirmative definition of materiality. And, you know, I could even do it off the top of it. Information is material if it can reasonably be expected to influence the economic or the decisions of the primary users, specific, et cetera. Could have written a simple sentence, a definition of materiality. And we did. So I don't propose to go away from it because we're out there. But I, in thinking back, I think that would be my preference, because I like simple affirmative definitions, not ones that have sort of a negative built in. Because this other stuff is sort of goes to, if you accept that as the fundamental part, then I would say if you accept that as a definition, it should be readily available to users, another affirmative statement. And then you could talk about all the things you can do so that it's not readily available to users. You could misstate, you could simply omit, or you could obscure. But I'm really sympathetic, I think, kind of going back to it, and the fact we've got something out there. So on this issue, I would not put it in the definition, but maybe we could write it in somewhere in another paragraph. Because we do want to, and I looked up the definition, and I also looked up a bit of the etymology. It fundamentally means cloud or conceal. So it's an old French word. And that's one of the worries, is that people will kind of have this torrent of stuff, and the effect is it clouds, right? And so whether you call it cloud or obscure, it's a real phenomenon that we're trying to prevent. And so I think we should still have some paragraph that may speak to that kind of behavior.
And John?
Thank you, Hans. Generally, I support the direction of this project. I also have the sympathy with the feedback we got with regard to the concern on obscuring information. I think, from my point of view, I think it's a bit confusing to the people whether the information disclosed will obscure to the investor's decision, or whether the management obscures something and then resulting, obscuring of the investor's decision, something like that. I think it's a judgment, it's a mind, something in the mind, something. It's difficult, it's difficult to how to make judgment with regard to this information. So I would like to suggest to remove this notion from the definition. Secondly, I noted that some people addressed why we include the notion of specific reporting entity. Why we need this notion specific? What's the difference with the specific reporting entity with reporting entity? I think we need to clarify further. And thirdly, mainly those information were just relevant to the general purpose financial statement. And I think some people also suggested whether it could be brought further to general purpose financial report. If some information disclosed beyond the financial statement, but included in the financial reporting, whether the definition of material should apply to those information disclosed in financial reporting. I checked IS-34, that is intra-financial reporting. It seems that maybe some information disclosed beyond the financial statement. I think the definition of the material should also apply. So whether we should focus on the financial statement or financial reporting. And finally, I agree that we address the primary users, but the reason here, we said that many existing and potential investors, lenders, and other creditors cannot require reporting entities to provide information directly to them. I'm not very sure, because in some jurisdictions, maybe those existing, especially those existing investors, they have legal rights to obtain those information from the reporting entity, and the reporting entity has obligation to provide those information required by those investors. So I'm a little bit concerned about this notion. Yeah.
Gary?
And I think, so look at all the comments received. The first comment you notice is almost all respondents agreed with the proposed changes. And then I think I'll put my comments a little obscure aside. I think all the other suggestions can be dealt with fairly forthrightly, you know, pretty quickly. And I wouldn't necessarily even object to some of them that we chose not to do here, to go into disclosure initiative or POD, you know, or so on. But that's another day. But I go back to the document we put out, and it's the first line in the first paragraph in introduction, which said, proposes to make minor amendments to IS-1, et cetera. Then you go on to say to clarify its application to align the wording in a whole series of our standards. We're almost there. I mean, the feedback we got came in the context of this is what we asked for feedback on. We don't see these as big deals. They're clarifying. Got very similar wording, but not exact, in several different documents. Let's just come up with one. We're virtually there. So I suggest we should just finish it. The staff work is largely done. And the feedback has been analyzed and so on. Again, maybe, you know, we should take out, you know, omitting or misstating. We can deal with that in disclosure initiative or elsewhere if we can. But I think we're virtually done. And if we wanted to make more energetic changes, I think we got to deal with the re-exposure. Now, part of re-exposure is what we do frequently, but it would be nice to get something done, too. I think with respect to the word obscure, I understand why we put it in there. I was modestly supportive of it. But reading the feedback and reflecting on my experience of how you write disclosures, I recommend we take it out. So, and again, they point out, well, what does obscure mean? Vague or unclear, you got unnecessary detail and so on and so on. But let me point out the changes we made in IAS-1 4 years ago, and I think also reflected in the materiality practice statement, said we cannot prohibit you from putting immaterial information in there. So is the presence of immaterial information obscuring material information? We've already said that's beyond our remit. So you can take that out if it's, what if I think I can aggregate something in some regulator or auditors? No, you should disaggregate it. And I say, well, it's immaterial. And I say, well, but you're obscuring it because collectively it's material. And you just go into umpteen wording and formatting discussion debates. I think it should be written in plain English. Someone says that's imprecise enough. It should be in jargon. Is that obscuring it? Because I don't like the writing style you chose. The list will just never end. In it. So for that reason, I think the word obscure is totally inoperative, and there's a lot of feedback for different reasons to exactly that point, so I recommend we drop it.
Hans, may I ask for clarification? And the clarification is the question, in fact, to the staff. My understanding, and maybe I didn't read the paper properly, was that indeed there was a majority of people, you emailed also, almost all people that approved the changes. So, in fact, we had a majority of people that were approving the inclusion of obscuring. It was just that there were a number of them that had a problem, that saw that it might be too subjective, that they were in need for guidance. And I think it would be important to clarify that because I misread or misinterpret what I hear, but it seems that inclining to removing the word obscuring, my colleagues would respond to the feedback we receive, and I didn't understand the feedback being that one.
has the response of the majority been obscured by the amendment?
If I could just explain a bit of context here. So as Gary mentioned, almost all respondents said at a high level we support this. So yes, in terms of the use of the word majority, in our, like, we didn't ask a specific question in the ED about, you know, we didn't ask the question, do you agree with obscurity being in or being out? So it would be wrong of us as staff to say a majority actively said that, because, you know, there were many that said, well, we agree with this project and didn't comment one way or the other. So I think we can assume, you know, that what you're saying for those people are they would support it by virtue of saying that. There were many which, as is described in the paper, we used to mean large minority, small majority, that expressed concerns about it, but they didn't say take it out. They expressed concerns about operationality, and then the number that actively suggested taking it out of the definition fell into what we refer to as a few. So it was a small number. Yeah.
Nick,
thank you. I mean, obviously, no users responded to the consultation, which is disappointing, but perhaps not altogether surprising. I definitely favour the single location. I think it's a very pragmatic response. But on the more, I guess, meaningful question, I would also like to retain obscuring. I think it adds the balance we talked about, but I also think it gives more traction to the definition.
Sue?
I also think that we should continue to pursue trying to include obscuring. Not least because we actually already use it. So some people are reacting as though it's brand new, and I just took quite some time. I did find it in the end, and IS1, we already use it in paragraph 30A and say that you shouldn't obscure immaterial information with immaterial information. We also use it in the practice statement, but that's not mandatory, so I can see why people would be maybe less concerned about it there. But it's not like this is a brand new thing. So I think maybe, but I think it's really important for the aspect of the project, which is sort of, it does go slightly beyond tidy up to Gary's point, but more toward the behavioural aspects of what we're trying to work on, because I think it's really an important part of what we're trying to get across to improve the application of materiality. So I don't think we should delay it too much if we can. And I wonder whether we should think and look at the comments in detail to see whether it's the elevation to the definition that's really causing the reaction, because I think because materiality is such an important concept, you know, it's the thing that lawyers and regulators and everybody gets involved in terms of, you know, the have you got everything you need to have in your financial statements. Having it in the definition is maybe what's making people more anxious than if it was beefed up as a concept, rather beefed up as a concept that sort of supports the application of the definition. It's very different, though, not having it in the definition versus using it that way, so we have to think about that. But I wonder whether that would enable us to move forward with better articulating the concept without people being so averse to it.
Yeah, if I could just comment on that, because there probably is some relevant information within the feedback there. The problem, I think, is clear from the letters, is elevating it to the definition of material, because what one viewpoint is that with obscuring being a concept around how material information is communicated or presented, that is a judgment, and the fact that the concept of obscuring information is subjective doesn't stop that judgment being applied in terms of how best to communicate information. If it was in the definition itself, the questions that people are raising, and it's kind of similar to what Gary said, is, for example, if something is omitted, it's clearly omitted. If obscuring by virtue of explaining something not clearly is an example we use, it would be very difficult to draw a clear line about when that is just a not great explanation and when it is active obscuring. And by putting it in the definition of material, we would effectively make that a compliance fail if that judgment was caused wrongly. So it's the elevation
Do you think that was our intention, though? Because the way that I had thought about it, and perhaps incorrectly, and the definition was that we're saying that if you don't present this information in a clear way, to use a more neutral term, then that could reasonably be expected to influence the decisions of primary users. So we're not even saying so much you can't obscure it. We're just saying that this is something that, if it's not well explained, that could have a consequence for decision-making.
I'm not sure I understand that.
So you don't need to. You don't really need to say, you know, have I omitted it? You certainly can say yes or no to that, but we're not really saying you can't obscuring it. We're just saying, is this a piece of information that is so important that it's clear that it needs to be clearly explained, because it's a piece of information which is, someone needs to make sure they understand this. So you'd be very careful that it's presented in a way that its understanding is clear.
Okay, I think
it's slightly different.
I'm sort of on a pin here,
but I think I'm wondering if there might be a slight difference.
I think I'm representing what this argument is rather than necessarily saying this is the answer here. But, the problem that people have with this is that even worded that way, when it's worded as if obscuring information would affect decisions, you can't make a call about whether it would affect decisions if you can't make a call about what constitutes obscuring. So in an example where we are talking about, a badly explained piece of information in the financial statements, if I don't know what level of bad means obscure, how do I know at what point I'm assessing whether that would interfere with decision-making? So I think the problem people have stands, even when it's worded that way.
I still think it's worth trying to work on. So. Yeah.
Mary?
Comments also about obscure, but then don't let me forget to just come back and say two things related to conceptual framework. In the context of obscure, I also went on the hunt in IS-1 to find paragraph 38, because I think it was a bit distressing to me that people were, I read some of the summary of comments as if we had proposed to introduce, a new concept, and they were reacting to that as a de novo proposal, as opposed to incorporating material that exists in authoritative literature that expands in comments about materiality. And I think we have to be very careful in our subsequent papers, both in what you write for us and how we express it in a final document, that we not undermine what we already have in the standard about materiality and what it means. I think we also have to stand back, and I'm going to echo something Gary said. Remember that this is supposed to be a bigger than AIP, but it should be a straightforward consolidation into a single phrasing of what material is, and it's meant to be a cleanup and alignment. It's not meant to be a reconsideration, reopening, etc., of what it is. And so while there are, of course, always opportunities for improving, enhancing, complementing it, we've got to discipline ourselves to stay focused on this as a project that is a consequential follow-up from the work that we did in materiality, practice statement, conceptual framework, etc., where we identified these variations in wording. We did not go out to reconsider what it is and positively reaffirm that. We are just going to conform the wording. And so in that context, are we picking up all of the concepts that we have now and that we discuss in various places appropriately in the definition and supporting discussion? I think that's what this project is, and we can't mess around with the scope of that project. Either we decide to do that project or not do that project. So it's a bit of preaching about that. And then when I look at Appendix B to the paper, which reproduces the ED, and I look at obscuring, thinking about the fact that we have it already, I'm going to say a bit of what Tom said. I think we either have to have all of omitting, misstating, and obscuring, or none of them. And the reason is that all of them, we could either say, as Tom said, information is material if it could reasonably be expected to influence the decisions. And then we could talk about the ways that you could have a material misstatement if you omitted it, you misstated it, or you obscured it, which are things that fail to meet that. Or we have to incorporate it in the definition, because if we left omitting or misstating and took out obscuring, it's relegating obscuring to second-class citizen. And as others have said, a big part of the 2014 amendments, which added paragraph 38, were to balance the excessive focus on completeness and give some counterweight to that. And so that's the way I ask you to go back and look again at the comments and think about what proposal you formulate is to not unwind what we did in 2014 or relegate it in some way to second-class citizen. And I think we do have to think very carefully about how much we can move from what we consulted on, because this is supposed to be a cleanup, almost mechanical. So, you know, it's a bit more than mechanical, but a cleanup follow-up. Now, I said I had a couple comments about conceptual framework. You had the comment at the beginning of the paper that all of this is analyzed in the context of the old conceptual framework, because that was the context in which we asked people to respond to the ED. I think my request to the staff in terms of what I'd like to see back is a short analysis that says, do we think moving from the old conceptual framework to the new conceptual framework has any impact on this? Because I don't want to have a question hanging over the finalization of this of, yes, but what happens when we look at it in the context of the new conceptual framework? My gut reaction, having spent a lot of time working through conceptual framework, is the shift from old to new will not have an impact. And I'm not criticizing the basis on which you did the analysis, because that's a statement of fact, what was the context others used. But I think we should do the work to be able to make an assertion about this definition not needing further change because of the new conceptual framework coming into effect.
I think that should be a relatively simple thing to say. I've had the look at it as well, and I don't think anything that we did from moving from ED to final on conceptual framework would actually influence this.
So let's just clean. So this goes in the what do we want you to do in the next papers? That's one. And then this thing about financial statements versus financial report, that again may be linked to the conceptual framework, because the framework covers financial statements and also brought, more financial reporting. And I think we just have to think about whether IS1, which is where we're proposing to put this, is really more in the context of financial statements, while the conceptual framework is financial reports. And we just, explain why we have a difference, reports and framework, where we still have a deliberate difference between framework and IS1, or whether we think IS1 should also be available to apply when we're talking about we're talking about information outside of the financial statements but part of a financial report. It should apply directly. In either way, we can explain it in the basis for conclusion for this.
I think we did have a brief explanation in the basis for conclusion on the amendments as to why there was a difference between financial reports and financial statements, that the conceptual framework referred to financial reports, whereas IS1 referred to financial statements. I don't think the explanation was good enough, because we did get a few comments from people saying they didn't understand why that difference was there, but I think we could probably do a better job of explaining that.
And I guess just a last thing, again, looking at Appendix B and the comments about who are the primary users, I guess it's a question about whether we really need to repeat, especially in the text of the definition material that's in the conceptual framework, or whether there's an easier, simpler way to incorporate it. I agree it's relevant and it's what we want to point to, and I just don't know if we need to cut and paste it into here, whether there's another way to accomplish that.
Thank you. I disagree with changing the definition from negative definition to affirmative definition. It makes a substantial change, because the affirmative definition, which Tom and Mary said, is something like information is material if it could reasonably expect it to influence. But our definition so far is a negative definition. Information is material if omitting it or misstating it, then it's material. So it's more complicated than simple affirmative definition. However, the reason why we had such a negative definition is because our definition of materiality is relative importance. Relative importance means different from absolute importance. So if we go to the affirmative definition, that means it's absolute importance. Say, for example, if the entity had a loss of £100 million, it's in itself as an information very material. So if you use the absolute importance definition, then it's material. However, if the entity's revenue or asset scale is 1 trillion, then maybe 100 million is not material. So then our definition is negative definition. So if omitting it, then it could be material. So if in that case, so negative definition is trying to achieve the relative importance rather than absolute importance. So therefore, if we are trying to change it from negative definition to affirmative definition, then it's beyond the clean and fishy. We need to discuss more. So therefore, if this is a narrow scope amendment, I don't think we can go that far.
Can I
do a follow-up on that?
Maybe the same thing.
It could go. Do you want to go first then?
I just want to say I wasn't saying I think we should do that. Okay. I was saying I just thought that's one of the things to think about. I think Tak's concerns are all valid in the context of... I just wanted to clarify, Tak.
Okay.
I had not reached a conclusion do that.
Yeah. Okay, problem solved. Tom.
I don't agree with Tak here. The negative positive, I don't see how it makes it more relative or absolute.
That's already been solved.
No, no.
Sometimes it does
matter. Go ahead, Tom.
I don't see that the relative or, sorry, the I agree completely. Relative and absolute, vital. I don't see whether phrasing it negatively or positively has anything to do with relative or absolute. The relative part comes in from, and it would be the same in both. The decisions that the primary users of a specific reporting entity's general can make. So the primary user, whether you state it affirmatively or negatively, if it's $1 trillion in revenue and it's $100,000, it's the primary user for the decision they're going to make is going to decide the relative absolute. Whether you put it in the affirmative or negative, I don't see how it's going to influence the primary user making that decision at all. I think the relative comes from having the primary user in the definition, and it's in either way. And again, I'm not saying it has to be affirmative, because I will agree with Tak that, which was my original position, while I prefer an affirmative statement, we've had a negative all along, and people will see this as a big change. So I was where I was early. So I'm sympathetic to that part. But I do not buy that negative gets you relative and affirmative gets you absolute.
I'm Adam.
Thanks. Very quick. Considering what you asked for in terms of feedback, in particular this, what is in paragraph 15 to 18, quickly, I like what we did. I think the feedback we received is fairly supportive. I find really interesting how we clarify the terms as we use, and small majority or large minority. It's quite confusing to me, but anyway. One thing that Mary mentioned is actually one of the proposals in 16, in particular C. I think if we do not agree to keep obscuring as we suggested, I think we should rethink the whole concept and exclude the other terms that are actually in the concept right now.
Yeah, just a last word eventually on this issue of whether the definition should be positive. We have, in fact, a significant number of standard setters and accounting firms have recommended, in fact, that we move to a positive definition and then that we have explanatory paragraph where the omissions and the misstatement and the obscuring would be balanced. So in light of that input into our discussion, I think in your paper and your recommendation next month or when you bring them, I think it would be important to really analyze the merits of that proposal and see whether it's feasible or not feasible within the frame of this project, but that at least those people see clearly that we have seriously considered the proposal and why or why not we are selecting to follow their recommendation.
Okay, but I think that in relation to the main question, should we retain obscuring, that most board members seem to be of the opinion that we should.
Well, just to sum up, I think there were a few different views expressed there, but I think perhaps the big takeaway for us is that what we need to do, given that the proposed way of dealing with obscuring in the ED did get a lot of challenges raised against it, I think perhaps we need to do a bit more work in thinking about how we would keep that in a way that would perhaps deal with those challenges. So I think our main takeaway is that there's a bit more work to do there before we are in a position to ask for that vote.
Yeah. Okay. Although I must say, when I reread the proposal, I find it really clear. All right. So don't overwork.
Don't run a marathon.
Every change leads to questions.